Welcome to Just a Minute. Thank you. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away once more, it is my huge pleasure to welcome my many listeners in this country and, of course, abroad, but also to welcome to the show four distinctive players of the game. And seated on my right, we have that exuberant, exciting, and very popular comedian, Paul Merton. And sitting beside him, we have a comedy performer of great talent, that is Giles Brandreth. And seated on my left, we have the exuberant, extravagant comedian, Graham Norton. And seated beside him, we have that delightful presenter, comedian, Sue Perkins. Please welcome all four of them. Beside me sits Janet Staplehurst. She will help me keep the score. She'll blow a whistle when the 60 seconds have elapsed. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the delightful Mermaid Theatre near the centre of London. And we have a packed audience here, just eager for us to get started. So let's begin with Paul Merton. Paul, the subject I've got in front of me is losing your rag. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
Well, I'm surprised to hear you use that tone of voice to me, Nicholas, after your behaviour last night at my luxury bedroom apartment in the heart of Soho. That glass coffee table needs some washing.
Graham, you've challenged.
I thought there was hesitation before we got to one bedroom.
He was so overcome at the thought of what he was trying to say, which I think was...
passion.
I thought it was fiction, actually, but anyway. So, Graham, yes, I agree with your challenge. So you get a point for that, you take over the subject, and you have 52 seconds available starting now.
Dear listeners, don't lose your rag. Throw it away. It's a rag. Why do you have it?
Oh, Sue, challenge.
My mistake, I withdraw the challenge.
You can't do that, my darling.
Well, I can explain why I did it and show my workings, but it isn't funny. And eventually, ultimately, it will get edited out. I became overexcited, Nicholas. Surely.
I know.
You can remember what that's like. Youthful exuberance.
Every time I look at you, Sue.
Every time?
Surely not.
When you interrupt someone, that person, if it's a wrong challenge, gets the points.
Woo!
Graham, it wasn't as exciting as all that.
I score points in this game, it really was.
Another point to Graham Norton, and he keeps the subject, and there are 46 seconds available. Losing your rag, starting now.
Losing your rag is an expression meaning that someone has lost their temper. Now, my rag goes very misplaced when I'm driving. I become a different person, ladies and gentlemen. I become a sort of beast behind the wheel.
Paul challenged.
Repetition of I become.
I become. I become a different person. Right. Paul, you have the subject. You have a point, of course, as well. And you have 31 seconds. Tell us something about losing your rag, starting now.
There's a character in the Charlie Brown Peanut strip cartoons called Pigpen, who has a piece of blanket which he's particularly fond of. And whenever he gets disappeared from the vicinity...
A jar's charged.
Hesitation and deviation from the correct usage.
When he gets disappeared from the vicinity by alien spacecraft...
But he did hesitate, so, Jive, we give it to you. And there are 20 seconds still to go, starting now.
As a small child, I had a problem.
Poor chance.
Well, excuse me, I could have made a ham sandwich in that hesitation there. My God. Bit of bread, bit of ham, cut the fat off, bit of mustard. How long was that?
You're impossible.
Is one not allowed to breathe these days?
You've got to speak when you're doing it.
I don't think it was long enough to be a hesitation, no. He was teetering on hesitation.
Was he?
Yes.
But in mitigation, I show you a ham sandwich. Yeah.
I think we should give Paul a bonus point because we enjoyed his interruption. But... Giles, you were interrupted, so you get a point for that. And you keep the subject of losing my rag. 19 seconds, starting now.
Andy Bandy and Teddy I never liked because of their relationship with Luby Lou. But Ragtag and Bobtail were favourites of mine. And I had a soft toy version of Rag, and I cuddled him in my bed beneath the duvet. Though having a duvet at that time was... Oh, blast! Oh, blast!
So you thought you were going to be challenged for deviation because you didn't have a duvet at that time.
No, you're right, but I had a double duvet. It was double layered. That was the problem. My parenting was too good.
I don't think that's going to be Paul's challenge, is it?
It was repetition of duvet.
Absolutely, yes. Oh, no, since then.
I said it twice because it's a French word. I wasn't sure you were familiar with it.
You're just doubling my ignorance.
And rudeness doesn't get you any bonus points.
No.
Ooh. Yes.
Fun does, but Paul, you have the correct challenge. 5 seconds to go, losing your rag, starting now.
The first time I really comprehensively lost my rag was at the Epsom...
So at the end of the first round, a lot of points were scored and Paul Merton got most of them. And speaking for getting an extra one, of course, because ever he's speaking as the whistle goes, gains a bonus point, and it's Paul Merton, so he's in the lead. Right, Sue Perkins, will you begin the next round? And something that regularly happens in the show, waffling. Will you tell us something about waffling in this game, starting now?
Waffling is the art of talking about something on which you have no knowledge whatsoever. Not to be confused with potato waffling. Similar thing, you have to complete the task, though, with a King Edward staple to your hard palate. Very difficult. If you're at a party and someone says, football, it's useful to know the simple terms such as sweeper system, back four and... Gore, that ref's dodgy, and you can pass through seamlessly and no one will be any the wiser. It's easy to pull off these things in a social situation. Simply open your mouth and shut it. Sometimes I do it for money, but never get any points. You're all not on this watch. Keep going, I say, and eventually someone will pierce the flannel. That's a particular term which denotes a huge pause coming. You can see it like a hole that approaches massively, but you slowly trundle towards it. You see the light and you move endlessly. But no, it doesn't come, and the words form as the trap opens and then closes again. The face becomes red, the veins on the neck, the gorge, the heat swelling. You can't believe it. It's like a strange visit from an apostle. I'm a Catholic, you know.
So I have to tell you, you were going so well, and the audience were enjoying it so much, and I should explain to our listeners that she was so animated as she did it, and she so much gesticulation that I was very mean. I let you go on well over the minute.
No!
Yes!
No!
That's why they cheered you so loud. You just got an extra loud round of applause at the end, because they knew what I'd done. I took the whistle out of Janet's mouth, and then I told her to do it. Right, so... in this game, whoever is speaking with us gains that extra point. But also, if you go for a whole round like that without being interrupted...
If I go for an hour and 20, does that factor in? 60 well,
all,
plus...
All right, we'll give you the bonus point. You get another point for not being interrupted, and we'll give you the bonus point because you went over the top. I mean, I allowed you to... because I allowed you to go over the top. It hasn't happened for a while, and certainly not with such animation. So at the end of that round, nobody else scored any points in that round, which is obvious, but Sue Perkins has now leapt into second place, just 1 point behind Paul Merton. And Giles Brandreth, would you take the next round? The subject is Teddies.
Teddies have been a lifelong enthusiasm, boy.
So... So,
I just saw Paul getting out.
I know.
The spam.
I know.
The margarine was already being spread. And...
I'm catering for 50.
So that we can judge whether there is hesitation, I always say you start now. And the subject is Teddies, you start now.
Teddies have been a lifelong enthusiasm of mine. Indeed.
Paul challenged.
Deja vu. Really strong. Just hit me. It's a world I don't begin to understand.
Right, another bonus point to Paul, because we enjoyed that, but...
You and I have a different sense of fun, Nicholas.
No, I just like to be fair. And you were interrupted, so you get a point. You mustn't complain.
Oh, I don't complain.
That's all right. You keep the subject.
You're a very good-looking man as well.
I know. You don't get any points for flattery. I wouldn't mind. 58 seconds are still left. Teddies, Giles, starting now.
When I was a Member of Parliament, the Prime Minister said to me, your enthusiasm for Teddies is bringing the government into disrepute. I said to him, given the enthusiasms that most of art know, enthusiasms and enthusiasm, one is plural, one is singular.
But you did say lifelong enthusiasm the first time you started.
That's right.
Oh.
Sue, you had a correct challenge. You have 50 seconds. Teddies starting now.
I sometimes wonder whether it was Giles Brandreth's fondness for Teddies that finally removed him from the Houses of Parliament. Much as it's fun to see him dressed in nightwear, the odd camisole draped neatly over his broad man shoulders.
Paul challenge.
Was it not the electorate that got rid of you? Chester. It's nothing to do with teddy bears, is it?
This is now getting personal. But Paul is right. I was a Member of Parliament until the people spoke.
And you actually lost to a teddy bear, is that right? And Bagpuss came third. Remember?
If Paul... Bagpuss had been standing, I would have voted for him.
I agree with your challenge, Paul. So you have another point. You have 38 seconds. You have teddies starting now.
Well, teddy bears are one of those things that were first popularised by Teddy Roosevelt, I suppose. He was the American...
Graham challenged.
Repetition of teddy... Because it's teddies is the subject.
Yes, but
subject.
He said teddies first, didn't
no,
he?
No, he said teddy bear and then teddy Roosevelt.
Oh, your teddy and teddy Roosevelt.
Yes.
Well listened.
Whoa.
He did say that.
So, annoying, I know.
But it's within the rules and you're also sharp and on the ball that you have to come in with the sharp ones. Right, 33 seconds still available with you, Graham, on teddies starting now.
It is a little-known fact that teddies were invented by parents who didn't like their children. Let's give them a teddy and they'll believe it's a cuddly, lovely creature. Then take them to the woods and let them loose. Don't pack sandwiches.
Jars is challenged.
This is deviation of a very dangerous kind.
People looked at his programme as a parenting skill.
You're right. I mean, Radio 4 is now attracting younger listeners, the family audience. This is not... No, this is... This is
children gonna... should know teddies are not playthings. They can kill.
But isn't there that lovely children's song, Let's Go Down in the Woods Today?
And get eaten! Yes. Teddies aren't packing sandwiches, they're waiting for children to come.
Yes, that's right. And, no, I'd love you to try, Giles, but I can't give it to you. And that's 20 seconds. 20 seconds, yes, that's right. Available for you still, Graham, on teddies starting now.
Teddies are also very short little baby doll nighties, I think. Or maybe it's a camisole, or could be a combination.
Giles' challenge.
I feel we've heard camisole before.
Not from my mouth.
No, you
haven't. It's been a while.
No, it was
I'd like to hear it again.
You may have heard it in your life. I don't think we can backtrack. I don't think there's DNA involved in the repetition process.
No, it was from Sue Perkins talking about camisoles in another round.
Oh, I'm so sorry. The voices
right.
are
similar. You're listening very well. You're listening well, but your rounds are getting confused. Graham, you have another point. You have 13 seconds. Continue on teddies starting now.
Teddies, I think, were some sort of gang in the 1950s. Don't know much about them, but I'll continue to talk about them nonetheless because that's the nature of the game. They wore long coats.
Paul challenged.
Well, they were known as teddy boys. They weren't known as teddies.
No, they were known as teddy teds, boys.
But not teddies.
I know.
But if you went down to the woods, they were armed.
So you've cleverly gone in with 5 seconds to go, Paul, on teddies starting now.
If you go down to the woods today, you're in for a big surprise. There's blue and white tape everywhere because the police are down.
So Paul Merton was again speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point and has increased his lead. He's 3 ahead of Graham Norton and then 1 behind follows Sue Perkins and then 1 behind Giles Brandreth. That is the sequence, that is the order as we go into the next round, started by Graham. Graham Norton, tell us... Subject now is how to cheer someone up. 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
I always find a super way to cheer someone up is to tell them their parents have died in a bizarre accident involving cling film. And then, as their eyes well up with tears...
Josh, Shannon.
I'm sorry, if this isn't deviation... this programme should come with a health warning. Can I tell you, my mother is listening. She's already frail.
Yes, but what if she was close to cling film at that moment?
Yes.
It would pull her away from that.
She might have rolled out too much. And, all I was saying was to cheer someone up. You tell them their parents have died in a cling film accident, and then when they start to cry, you go, only joking, and they laugh and laugh. It's
a nice, happy game to play. No. That is sad.
I think you're trying to cheer them up through sheer high-powered personal trauma. Which can't be the most direct route, surely.
Well, they'll be happier than they were at the end of it.
No, they won't. They will be deeply sad and deeply disturbed and distressed.
My mistake.
So, Giles, a benefit of the doubt again. Not a doubt again, but you've just got it. You have the subject, 51 seconds, how to cheer someone up, starting now.
Her Majesty the Queen often looks glum. Don't be fooled. Goose her and she livens up no end. The Duke of Edinburgh, however, to be entertained, needs to be taken to the Royal Variety Performance. That is his idea of a good time.
Paul challenge.
Nobody is entertained at the Royal Variety Performance. Nobody. Ever. And if anybody is, it's certainly not Prince Philip.
Well, he is entertained in a curious way. The things they get up to in the royal box.
I know, we've heard that story, Charles. Do you want to tell it again?
No.
All right. I have a very difficult decision here because a lot of people do enjoy the royal variety performance.
I think the year you were on was excellent.
None of them are here.
And no, it was a good humorous point you made, Paul, which made everybody laugh, but it's not strictly true. Some people do enjoy the royal variety performance. So, Giles, an incorrect challenge. 39
still
seconds.
Still want to be invited back, don't you?
I don't think they'll be
Sir
listening.
Sir Nicholas. I can taste it.
Giles, it's your subject still. How to cheer someone up. 39 seconds starting now.
What Prince Philip enjoys is reading the autocue before the performance on challenge. Stage.
Repetition of Prince Philip.
No, Duke of Edinburgh last time.
No, Prince Philip.
No, Duke of Edinburgh last time.
Prince Philip.
It was Duke of Edinburgh.
Was it?
Yes. Yeah.
I thought it was Prince Philip, that's why.
No, he said Prince Philip in between, but he wasn't playing the game. He was just delighting us.
Okay, fair enough.
So it's another point to you, Giles. How to cheer someone up. 36 seconds starting now.
It takes 7 muscles to smile, but 13 to frown, which is why a tickling stick is very useful when you want to cheer somebody up.
Sue challenged.
Like hesitation.
No, none at all.
Ooh.
I didn't see him. I didn't hear him.
Very strict, Nicholas, but I like it.
Don't set him off, for God's sake.
I'm backing away.
That sounded very sensuous, Sue. I don't know what you're referring to. No, he didn't. He did go with some fluency, I think, there. So, Giles, I'm still with you on this one. 28 seconds. How to cheer someone up, starting now.
Ken Dodd is the master of this. He comes tumbling into the room, making you laugh and cheer and feel as though life has become glorious again, because he has this particular knack of getting to the little bits of your body that actually make you roar with chucklingness. And that is such a pleasure.
Sue challenged.
I'm challenging on chucklingness. Just as the man pedant would have certainly buzzed in if someone had said it, so I have to say chucklingness, surely.
It's a Doddyism.
It's not a word.
It's a Doddyism.
It's a Doddy. It's the sort of thing that the Doddy would say. You know, he talks about your chuckle muscles.
If you're going down this route, it's going to end in tears.
It is one of the things he says. It is one of the things he says.
Yes,
along with what VAT?
Two things. No, it's the sort of thing that Doddy would say if he hasn't already said it. So I really think it would be very unfair to Giles that if I took it away from him. But Paul can have a bonus for his VAT. You can have a bonus because you were interrupted. And he gets a point because he was interrupted. And so you've all got points except Graham. But I'll... 13 seconds, how to cheer someone up, Giles, starting now.
Laugh and the world laughs with you, snore and you sleep alone. Therefore, it is very important to say...
A bit of hesitation.
There was hesitation. Agree with that, yes. You, Paul, and you have the subject again, and you got in with 8 seconds to go. How to cheer someone up, starting now.
If you want to cheer somebody up, you must take them to the royal variety performance.
Grand challenge.
I'm an idiot. I'd heard Royal Variety Performance, a bit like Camisole.
That's right, yes.
You'd
heard it,
yes,
but not
but
in
Paul
one of the rounds.
Paul didn't actually say it.
Didn't actually say it, so he was interrupted again, it was incorrect challenge, and he's got another 4 seconds to go on how to cheer someone up, starting now.
Prince Philip and the Queen are known for leading the cheering at the end as the grateful public...
So, Paul, with points in the round, including again one for speaking as a whistle went, has moved forward, increased his lead. He's now ahead of Giles Brandreth, who, with some perspicacity in that last round, has leapt into second place. Then Graham Norton is in third place, equal with Sue Perkins. And Paul Merton, your turn to begin. The subject, handymen. Tell us something about handymen in this game, starting now.
Well, I'm not somebody who's particularly skilled at DIY. Do-it-yourself seems to be an odd way of going about things. Get somebody else in. A handyman is an old joke I remember from school. Goes to the... It turns out I don't remember it. No. I thought I did.
Giles, you press your buzzer first.
Hesitation.
Yes. 51 seconds. Tell us something about handymen, starting now.
Lord Finchley tried to mend the electric light. It struck him dead and serve him right. It is the business of the wealthy man to give employment to the handyman. This is why I've always engaged the services of bright young people who can actually do the odd jobs around the house, particularly, of course, if they look rather attractive, because being Tommy Two Ways is part and parcel of life as a conservative. And...
it's Tommy Two Ways.
I think you've blown your chances.
No. Can I tell you, this kind of deviation is part of being the new inclusive party. We're encouraging it.
No, I think you've blown your chances of being adopted for any constituency after that last remark.
Giles, your mother is listening.
You know this already.
With some
cling. She's probably reaching for the cling film.
Graham, new challenge, though. What was your challenge?
Deviation for the worst kind.
Highest order.
Appalling.
Deviation. You think that isn't the way that the Conservative Party selects their...
Well, so I don't think the way Giles chat to his mother.
Now, listen, I've given Giles quite a few benefits of the doubt. I give you the benefit of the doubt on this occasion.
Okay.
And you have the subject. 29 seconds, handymen starting now.
Because Giles' mother is listening, I think it's probably inappropriate that I talk about handymen for 29 seconds.
Sue, you challenged.
Yes.
Yes, hesitation.
Yeah, I loved
it. I'm also going to give Graham that bonus point, which he didn't get on the other round.
Woo!
Sue, you had a correct challenge, so you get a point for that. 23 seconds. Tell us something about handymen starting now.
It turns out I can speak about handymen, because Giles Brandreth's mother is currently at home wearing a camisole and waiting for me. Turns out she's Tamara Two Ways. So all fair in love and war.
All challenged.
I think you find it's Betty Both Ways. It's got to be. Or Belinda.
So what is your challenge?
It's Bunty Both Ways.
Bunty Both Ways.
Not Tamara Two Ways. Bunty Both Ways.
Well, I think she could have coined another phrase. And
Alison Anyway.
Oh, we're getting
this. Deirdre Desperate.
Yes, we are.
Nanette Nowhere.
And think a lot of... Could we take a quick break? Because I need to telephone my mother to get her to retune to Radio 2. I think there's probably something quite good on the other side.
Paul, a bonus point for your remarks there. You were interrupted, Sue. You get a point for that. You keep the subject. 13 seconds. Handymen starting now.
The brilliant thing about handymen is they will turn up 4 hours later than you expect and immediately demand tea before they've even put a tool to a surface. Ooh. The important thing to remember is that tool to surface sounded rude. And it made me stop.
Tool to surface.
Yes.
You can't put too many tools to the surface, I'm afraid.
Well, yes.
Not in just a minute, I mean. Giles, you have the correct challenge and you only have 2 seconds to go. You've got handymen back starting. Starting now.
The tattoos are the thing that I find exciting.
Poor challenge.
What?
Slight hesitation.
Oh! Oh!
Would you like a vol-au-vent?
Are those fairy cakes?
Yes, those are fairy cakes there.
Made a vol-au-vent and a ham sandwich. No. Giles, another point. 1.5 seconds on handymen starting now.
Handymen won the amazing!
So Giles, with more points, including one for speaking as the whistle went, has moved forward. He's still in second place, but now only one behind our leader, Paul Merton. But closely followed in third place, Sue Perkins, Graham Norton, still pegging it out together there. But I emphasise that rather deliberately, because we're moving into the final round. So, Giles, Mr. Conservative Two Ways, it's your turn to begin. And the subject is whispering. And you send out some whispers tonight, I can say that. And you start now.
Language is power. It's what defines us, differentiates us from the animals and those whose hands do trail upon the ground.
Sue challenged.
Repetition of us.
Yes, that's right. You did say us twice.
And also freaking us out.
Yeah.
Uh, 53 seconds are available for you, Sue, to tell us something about whispering, starting now.
Whispering is so popular they even have a whispering gallery where you can see pictures that symbolise what it's like to speak quietly. Alternatively, you can turn your radio on and listen to Giles Brandreth with...
A Giles challenge.
Repetition of listen.
Yes.
Aghast.
You can say that you were there the night. And I repeated, listen.
41 seconds, Giles. I'll whispering, starting now.
Hush, tush, whisper who dares.
Graham challenged.
Wasn't a repetition of hush?
No, he said tush as well. Hush,
oh,
tush.
Oh, sorry, I couldn't hear tush. Him.
Right, so Graham, unfortunately, an incorrect challenge. Another point to Giles, a bonus point to Graham. 38 seconds for whispering with you, Giles, starting now.
Bing bong, nobody cares, Christopher Robin has fallen downstairs. As the philosopher said, no matter how eloquently a dog may bark, he cannot tell you that his parents were poor but honest. Words do that, and words whispered have a kind of magic and authority to them.
Repetition of words.
Words say that, and words say that, yes. So Paul's got in on whispering with 23 seconds to go, starting now.
My tactic for winning just a minute is to simply whisper at a volume where nobody else can hear me, because although they're wearing
Giles, you're challenged.
Well, my mother thought it was a hesitation, because she couldn't see his lips moving.
No, we could see his lips moving. A difficult challenge for me, because I know he was actually speaking.
Yeah, I was.
But we couldn't hear him.
No. It's hesitation, repetition, deviation, not volume.
We have to hear you, so I have to give the benefit of the doubt to Giles, but we give a bonus point to Paul, because we did enjoy what he contributed to the show. And Giles carries on for 13 seconds on whispering, starting now.
Whispering, of course, has to be done very quietly, but if it is done silently, it doesn't count at all.
Poor challenge again.
He's stealing my material! I'm known as the whispering man on the radio!
Another bonus point, but Giles has got another point because he wasn't deviating from the subject. 9 seconds, whispering, Giles, starting now.
It has been whispered that Nicholas Parsons was brought up on Muffin the Mule, but I think, in fact, that his childhood favourite was probably Dobbin the Donkey. Anyway, the perversity...
So I'll give you the final score. Sue Perkins, who hasn't played the game for quite a while, but gave tremendous value, especially that great round of solo round.
Yeah,
came only just
out,
in fourth place. A magnificent fourth place. Best fourth place we've ever had, actually.
Yes.
And
only one point... The film.
only one point behind Graham Norton, a brilliant third place. But yeah. Out in the lead, together... Equal were Giles Brandreth and Paul Merton, so we say you two are the winners this week. Yeah. Thank you, thank you. Well, we do hope you've enjoyed this edition of Just a Minute. It only means we say thank you again to these four wonderful players of the game. Paul Merton, Graham Norton, Sue Perkins, Giles Brandreth. I thank Janet Staplehurst for the way she blew her whistle and helped me with the score. We are indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this game. We thank our producer, Claire Jones. We are indebted to this lovely audience here. Thank you for your applause. Hope you've enjoyed it. Tune in the next time we play Just a Minute.
Next week, Nicholas Parsons will be joined by Paul Merton, Clement Freud, Tim Rice, and Stephen Fry.